You know Marlowe's not with the team anymore, right?
What?
Welcome into another episode of the Prognologist, new for the 2017-2018 San Jose Sharks campaign. With me, as always, the one and only Rocket Backhander, now coming to you from a little further east than she used to be.
What up, y'all? It's Rocket Backhander reporting from Teal Town, USA Studios East here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And the one and only Puck Guy.
What's up? I guess I'll be filling in for the jerk on this go-around today.
Of course. And it wouldn't be a San Jose Sharks season preview show without the one and only Mr. Brody Brazil, brand new father. How are you today?
I thought I was the jerk. I didn't know who Eric was talking about there. Who's the jerk? Who's the jerk? What is this?
The hockey jerk.
The hockey jerk.
Got the it. Hockey jerk that's usually sitting in this position.
I forgot about the handle. Now I get it.
Right.
Yes. All making sense. Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, awesome. Great that you're here. I was just doing this one. Brody, of course, he's got a lot going on. So this is just going to be a Sharks season preview, and we'll get into the other guys from the Pacific soon enough.
Do you want me to explain it, AJ? Look, I've got three innings of baseball worth of time here, right? Because I'm between pregame and postgame shows here for the A's. Our season's still going. And the other thing, as you allude to, is I've been off until yesterday, 6 weeks of paternity leave. So my studying up of the Pacific Division, even around the NHL, has been very weak going into this year. I just haven't had enough time. But obviously, once baseball ends, I'll get a couple days to do that. So
there you go. You know Marlowe's not with the team anymore, right?
What?
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Who did we trade for him?
What?
Mike Fisher and a box of crayons.
Oh jeez. We didn't get Austin Matthews for him? What's going on?
Ceremony
we didn't get Bo Horvat for him. I'm really upset about that. But we'll get into that later.
You went there. You went to Bo Horvat.
So, I mean, it was, for the most part, especially if you consider recent history for the Sharks, it was a relatively quiet summer. You had a couple of extensions, obviously, Vlasic and Jones. You get Jumbo to sign the one-year deal, but you do lose Schlemko to the Knights. You lose Mueller in a deal with the New Jersey Devils. And as I said, Marlowe did go. So we're looking at the youth and what's going to come up and who's going to take over those 27 goals from Marlowe, whether it's a hopefully very healthy and Couture and Hurdle during the season, bounce back years from Donskoy or Bodker, the young guys stepping up, whether it's Banker,
Timo time.
Yep, absolutely. So, Brody, I know we're just going to throw you into the fire with like – little preparation and just
everybody else does. Why wouldn't you? So I'll actually even take it to a place I normally don't, just the structure of the team financially. And every season that I've covered them and every season that I can recall in recent times going into game one, they're only about $3 million under the salary cap. So not a lot of flexibility, you know, enough to make something happen, to squeeze something in. But the way they are right now, $7 to $10 million under the cap, like to me, there is so much flexibility of options. And I look, am I talking about a Duchesne? Am I talking about a Tavares? I don't know. Those are guys that are higher end players. They're not happy where they're at right now. Am I saying for sure that the Sharks could even offer them something in return, either to Colorado or to the Islanders to get those guys? I don't even know. But it's just weird that they have this option this season. You feel like, because of what you mentioned, AJ, they didn't have a lot of addition. They didn't have a lot of subtraction either, but usually they make, you know, one or two interesting moves into San Jose, players coming into San Jose. They haven't done that. So I'm wondering if it's the strategy of Doug Wilson to wait on that a little bit. Why make all your purchases right now when there's really no rush? You got a couple months to see how things play out. Maybe you strike a deal midseason and pick up one of these key players.
Right. And, you know, last year the key acquisition was Mikael Boedker. Maybe the whole thing is Wilson's a little gun shy because Boedker just hopefully that was an anomaly last season and
yeah.
He comes back this season. Puck guy, wow, how about you? I mean, do you think that with having right now, according to Cap Friendly, 8.7 mil in cap space, you have that, and for the first time in quite a while, the Sharks have a lot of, I mean, a good amount of prospects, and whether it's O'Regan or Tim Heed or Yoki Ryan, Carpenter, I mean, there's some talent there that could be moved along with that 8.7 or however you decide to do it, but, you know.
There's a lot of options for the Sharks this year where you could potentially go after a game changer like they did over a decade ago with Jumbo Joe. You have plenty of cap space. You can sweeten the deal with a prospect or a player or two where they can play it. But they also have seen the success from the San Jose Barracuda and their deep run last year in the Calder Cup playoffs, where you have Ryan Carpenter, Joachim Ryan, who's making a pitch for the team. You have Tim Heed. Like we mentioned, Timo Time. Danny O'Regan. I mean, you have a number of players that can make the jump up now. And Brody, I remember talking to you, I think it was on a Facebook chat, how this kind of reminded me like the teams where you saw like Marlow and Korliuk, where they were starting to be the youngsters, but they had some influence of veterans along the way that they just look like they're on the verge of something very special.
I think being strong in the American Hockey League, you know, it's so important for this group because at this point, there's a lot of young guys, and I talked to almost all the players at Media Day, 2 weeks ago now. You really sense that the main theme of this team this season is those guys stepping up. And you talk about the 27 goals that Marlow leaves behind. You know, the hard way of looking at it is simply that. 27 is a big number. But the easy way of looking at it is – all right, you get five more from LeBanc. Maybe Sorensen's a player on your team. Maybe he gives you five more than you would have expected from him. Meyer, I mean, you could go up and down the list. Even Joel Ward had a down scoring season last year. There's a 10-year, 11-year vet right there. So this is a team, to me, that is so deep, actually, on the back end when you look at players, and not just who's up there right now, but even with the Barracuda right now, the blue line is as solid as could be. At the NHL level, at the AHL level, my biggest question, concern area is the depth up front. And I it's weird because you think about the Sharks of the last, 5 to 7 years, you'd never say that. You'd always say, are the defensemen up to par of all the forwards? Now it's the other way around. And you've got, obviously, Burns, Vlasic, signed long-term. So you're looking good for a long time to come on the back end.
Well, a lot of times as well, what you'd hear talked about is that those top six are always great, but Rocket, how do you feel about the bottom six?
You know what? It's really tough. I've seen this team where the bottom six are, they're in remedial pre-K and the top six are way off in, university prep, and they've got all the nice, good electronics and everything. Like, there's a huge span of difference between the two. This year, I think that it's pretty even. There's a lot of good pairings on the third line, and there's a couple of good combinations, I think, that are possible with the guys down there on the fourth line. I think that not having Patty here this season is going to be tougher on the fans for emotional and sentimental reasons than it will actually be for the progress of this hockey club. There is such a thing as the Stanley Cup hangover. It's real. We saw it happen. I think that...
Except last year.
Last year, but that's because Sidney Crosby sold his soul to the devil, but that's another episode.
Anyway. He actually sold it to the White House, but anyway, keep going.
Okay, so anyway, what was I talking about? I don't remember.
I don't even know either. I got so distracted.
Right. Okay. So no, I think Patty being gone is going to be a good thing for the team.
Oh yeah.
Stanley Cup hangover is a real thing. We saw that with even as much power and, you know, in the room knowledge of what it took to get to the Stanley Cup final. But so they still have a lot of that presence in the locker room this year. And the young talent got to watch them from across the hall for the last two seasons. So they pretty much know exactly what they're going into if they get the call. It's not like they're coming in from Cedar Rapids, Virginia, where it's a completely different vibe and it's a little bit overwhelming. So I think that's a huge plus as well. It's a young group. But I think we got to give them credit where credit's due. You know, they got big shoes to fill, and I think they're going to do good things. They've done good things thus far.
They had a good season of their own, obviously, as you guys know, with the Barracuda last year. They went as far as I think they've ever gone, right, in franchise history, going back to Worcester and even before that. So, I mean, there's no reason why they can't contribute. But, you know, again, it's one of those things that you're asking for an unknown to happen. This is not a for sure thing. It's not like Sharks teams of seasons prior where you kind of know who's going to do what. There's a lot of openness here. And it's not to say there's not enough players who can step up. You actually need, if you're Pete DeBoer, some of these guys to step up. And to that example, you know, I'll even take it to Tomas Hertl. At this point, I'm pretty sure, and I think that he said this too to me the other day, that he's like, I don't care if I play wing or center, but at this point, I know they want me to be a centerman. I know that's what the team needs. And so I want to thrive in that role as a centerman. So, I mean, you're going to need guys stepping up all over the place, top six, bottom six, all, you know, forward wise. And I think in his case too, that's another interesting player, not necessarily part of that youngest group we're talking about, but part of a young group that is so critical to the Sharks.
Well, and it's been so disappointing that he's just gotten, I mean, he was so electric his first season here. Then we all know what happens with Dustin Brown, and since then he's really
had a couple knee injuries.
Yeah, so he hasn't had a real strong top to bottom, you know, from all the way from early October to the end of April. He hasn't had that full season year. And remember when we talked about getting 27. Those 27 Marleau goals. Remember, four of those came in a game against Colorado. So we can have a bounce back year from Bodker picking that up. We can see Donskoy perhaps picking it up, and we've already heard a lot about Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl having a lot of chemistry. As we know, DeBoer likes his pairs, and those guys are showing a lot of chemistry, and that would be a huge third line puck guy. I mean, I'm not talking Mike Ricci, Scott Thornton, Nicholas Sundstrom, huge, but huge nonetheless.
It's huge because you have a skill. You have skill on that line on all three of them. You have the guys that can throw the weight. I mean, Timo more so because of his build, but also Melker. The kid just loves to do anything and everything to get this team to be successful. I mean, one of the things I always remember of game three win against the Penguins in the Cup final, he's throwing his body around. He doesn't care what he has his stick and his glove ripped off, and then the puck is forced to go the other way for Tierney and Donskoy to set it up. But that third line, I mean, what is the biggest thing we've always had about teams that were so top heavy on the top six was, where's the secondary scoring? Where's the depth on this team? You have it with Hertl. You have the finesse playmaking. Timo is going to be wanting to, I hope, crash the net and get some of the dirty goals. And Melker is going to be out there to do whatever it takes. So yeah.
And Brody was at Media Day. I mean, I haven't seen him in person yet, but you see it on Instagram. Hertl looks yoked, bro.
I think he spent a lot of time bodybuilding and also tanning. I would say his tan game is tight right now.
Oh, boy.
Not to mention, been hanging out with Goldobin.
I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. Not to mention the English on Tomas Hertl. Now, you guys remember.
Fun must be always.
Right. But that was after the four-goal game against the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is Dream. I take it back.
Oh, yes.
There's so many Hertl catchphrases. Remember when he dropped, "This is Dream"? And he did not want to do that interview after he scored, you know, especially the between the legs goal on Baron. he didn't want to do the interview because he knew it was in front of the whole crowd and he knew his English just wasn't where he wanted it to be. Now the guy is coming in, cracking jokes. Like, you can understand, like, you can see that he is totally so much more connected now that the language barrier is not there. And I think, you know, discount that as much as you might. I think even something small like that is a big deal. When you think about chemistry, your teammates, kind of, you know, and he's played with all these guys now for a handful of years, but I don't think that hurts him one bit. I'm curious, you guys are talking about like forward lines here. Is there something you guys have projected? I mean, to me, there's a lot up in the air. And let's go right to the top, so to speak. I mean, is this a year where maybe Pavelski plays a little bit more with Couture? Does Pavelski always stay with Thornton? I mean, time-wise, like, who gets – are the top two lines, is it really – are they going to basically both get the same amount of time? Like, if you're DeBoer, how do you do this?
I go back to the issue of pairs. I think it's going to be Pavelski and Thornton on the top pair, right. whether you try to put Hansen in there, whether you try to
Timo.
Put Timo in there, what, Carlson, that you look at that. Hey, maybe we have just a breakout camp from an O'Regan or someone, and maybe they consider that, you know what, that affords us the flexibility to at least try Hurdle on the top line with the Joes. We saw it have it performed very well in the past, but right. as we know, yeah, they want Hurdle to be a center, so you just go with pairs. Thornton, Pavelski, Couture, and likely Donskoy or Bodker.
Right. I like him with Donskoy. I think Donskoy does so well because he hangs on to the puck, you know, and Couture, with that, you're buying Couture time to get open somewhere else. And by the way, I thought you guys were talking about Melker, since it's on my mind. There's another player, like we were talking about Hurdle maybe taking the next step. Melker's a guy that, I mean, he has scored some of the most clutch goals in pedestrian games, also in big games. Didn't he got the game winner, right, in overtime in Edmonton, even in the playoff series, right, where he went up against the glass and the famous photo, infamous photo of the woman giving him the double bird on the glass. But, I mean, we talked about at Media Day, we talked about, you know, how instinctively he's scored all these clutch goals. But he says, okay, that's great. What I really want to do is become a more consistent scorer. And what he was talking about was just playing a lot more right in front of the crease. You know, he says maybe he got away from that last year. So, look, there's another player on that not youngest tier, but second youngest tier, guys like him, guys like Hurdle, that you're hoping now can evolve and really be critical players to this team.
Absolutely. And you think about, too, I think that part of last season also gave Peter DeBoer – a little more comfort level in believing in Aaron Dell. And
sure. Oh, 100%.
And we also saw the season that Grosnick had. So I think he's going to be comfortable and maybe not working Jones as hard. And one of the things I think saves them is if you look at the schedule this season, last year, because of the World Cup, it was so ridiculously compressed. And this, you look at the, what is it, opening night's on a Wednesday, then Saturday versus the Kings, and then they don't play again until like the following Thursday?
Are you complaining about my schedule? I love that schedule. Days off to spend with Max? Are you kidding me? I'm loving this NHL schedule.
But it's just, you know, I think it's, you can really pick your spots then, and you know you're going to get Jones some rest. But what about on the back end, Rocket? I mean, do you think Heed or Yoki Ryan pushes DeMello, or do you think DeMello, he's gonna keep it?
Well, we all thought DeMello was sort of up there and in that for a hot minute last season, and then he went cold as a starfish. So it depends genuinely on if he repeats that performance this year, if he is able to find real chemistry with Brendan Dillon, and they make a good pair. You know, one of them, if they can figure each other out and they make a good dance couple, then yeah, he's locked in.
What is this, Dancing with the Stars all of a sudden?
No, I always have this sort of theory that your defensive pair is like your dance partner and you kind of need to anticipate what they're doing. So for a hot minute, it was during the bad season, my first year, it was trying to find number 88, a good dance partner.
And they found one.
Yeah, that was the scary thing, was watching him with other people, and it was like, no, they can't, yeah. They can't. So that's how I relate the pairs, is my dancers.
To your point, Brett Hedekin always talks about, you know, there's just simply three types of D-men that are your partner, and one of them brings you down, like you cringe when the coach puts you with him and you know you're stuck with him and you have no choice. And every time you go out on the ice, it's a gong show. You have no clue. Then there's also the guys that are okay. You know, you play along with them and maybe they don't, they're fine. They don't make you better. But then Hedy was talking about, you know, there's a third tier that just absolutely guys that make you better. They get you, they support you, they understand you. They don't get out of position. He talks a lot about splitting the ice simply in left and right. You stay on your side, I'll stay on mine. And for no reason will we find ourselves both, you know, on my side or your side. And Paul Martin, everything you talk to Bernsie about and everything you talk to Paul Martin about, like they are so intertwined now. Have you guys seen Paul Martin's beard now, right?
Oh yeah.
Like even the facial stylings are rubbing off on each other. And as you know, I told Paul Martin halfway through last year, I was like, when Bernsie wins the Norris, right? Like you gotta ask for something nice, maybe a nice new suit. I don't know, a vacation for the family, something. Like he owes you something. And it's funny because you know, Paul's like, yeah, it's a joke. He gets it, but at the same time, it's kind of not a joke. Like we all understand that Brent Burns is a dynamic player, but in some way, in some interesting way, Paul Martin has made him even better, and find that next level. And I think the scoring has always been there for Bernsie, but I think last year specifically, like his defensive responsibility and some of the plays that he made to prevent goals were equally as impressive as blasting off a one-timer from the point. Seriously, like he's
yeah, no, there's a few times we joked that he should sides. Be up for the Norris and the Vezina.
Yes. Like, was, oh, yes.
Right. Exactly.
So,
but I mean, look at the defensive depth we have. That's talking about Burns and Martin, and then there's Vlasic and Braun, who are basically just your shutdown pair of the century. And I mean, even with the third pair, there's not that much of a lapse. I don't think there's, yeah, if there's DeMello and Dylan, or if they make great dance partners, they're just as strong of a pairing, I think, as the other two sets. If not, I really like Tim Heed's oomph. That I appreciate his defensive style. I don't know how well he would pair with Brendan Dylan, but I am curious to see how that works out.
Why do people, by the way, why do people get down sometimes on Brendan Dylan? And look, it's you, AJ. Okay, I didn't know who was doing that.
My name is Rocket Backhander, and I'm the president of the Brendan Dylan Fan Club North America chapter.
I've seen that. I'm trying to find the Dylan haters in there, and I think look, you guys are right. He's going to have the toughest assignment of anybody in being paired with the most inexperienced player. Now that doesn't hurt him because there's somebody young and hungry and very capable. Like he's going to get the guy paired with him that won the job. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get paired with somebody that DeBoer and Doug Wilson, they like and want in there. Right. So sure. he's not going to be up against it, but I like Dylan. I mean, I thought last year he looked a lot faster out there. I thought he looked like an improved player, and I would imagine, I know the kind of work ethic he has up in BC in the offseason, I would imagine he takes the next step. I really would.
He's winning me over. And,
yeah.
And the other thing, remember, Martin is only here for two more years on his deal, right? So right. I could eventually see Yoki Ryan taking that spot with Burns. I think that could be dynamic. I think Vlasic with Tim Heed could be really dynamic because then you get that super offensive guy with the shutdown defensive guy together, kind of what you have right now with Burns and Martin. I think that could be some interesting pairings. I look forward to that. And finally, I think the one thing that we need to discuss, and oh boy, I can't find my drum. Where did I put my
drum? What are you, Sharky with the props?
I can't find my the power play drum that I banged on all season last year. And already the power play seems like it's better. And
Wait a second.
It's addition by subtraction.
When you say already it's better, are you looking at preseason power play stats?
No. Not looking at stats. You know what I'm looking at is the fact that they look like they're actually trying different things. And of course, we're not going to look at it until, you know, a few games into the regular season. But I think Marlowe, the subtraction of Marlowe may force them to, you know, stop doing the power play by muscle memory and start becoming a little creative because the power play was really dormant last season.
You 25th know, in the league, yep.
Yeah, so I think they work on those special teams, especially the power play, and it'll be interesting to see who they slot up there. If you're going to have Hurdle kind of running the second unit, and there was how many times did we see better production or at the very least more chances?
The second unit.
Yes.
Agree. And they know I have to pee about just the power play, and it's a weird thing because you do subtract Marlowe, but overall it's a similar group that's been here, you know, all those years, and is intact and should have no problem scoring. But I mean, that is so uncharacteristic about the Sharks. If I said 25th on the power play in the league, like, imagine, and that was like a Todd McClellan, Jay Woodcroft, like, that was their thing, right? I mean, they had Danny Heatley up front, you had Boyle on the back end, you had scoring from everywhere, but I think the Sharks still have that. So for them to finish 25th in that category, I would be shocked if not by skill, because I think that's how it will happen, but even if by luck that they're 25th again. Like, I think they need to be and will be, you know, top 15, top 10 in the league, top half of the league at least, if not top 10 in the power play.
Yeah. And we do know that Bob Buchner has left the Sharks to go be the head coach with Florida. We got a new guy, sort of, and an old guy, sort of. Are you excited to talk to Rob Zettler after, you know, growing up watching him for the Sharks?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it's always neat to bring back, you know, somebody who meant something to the franchise before. And I think you don't necessarily just do that because of sentimental reasons. You do that for smart reasons. And I think if you are a coach, any type of coach, and there's a vacancy on the Sharks, like, why would you not want to be a part of that? Why would you not want to put your name in that hat? What I'm saying is, I imagine for Pete and for Doug, there were tons of options of ways they could have went with that. So for Zets to get it, that's great. I think this is, as much as this is a team that maybe didn't do a lot this summer to catch your eye, catch your interest, with the exception of the big signings and keeping Vlasic around longer. And I think the signing of Martin Jones was huge. It really was. He's a guy that I'm curious to see what he does in this next contract. When I say curious, I'm really interested, because I think as good as he's been, I think he can sustain that. I think he can have even longer flashes of brilliance. I really do. So, I mean, again, they didn't make a lot of blockbuster, sexy type moves outside of their own team. So I'm kind of waiting to see what happens here, how this all comes together, being that not much has changed. And it was, granted, this was a team until mid-March last year that they had it going. They had no issues. They looked just fine. And then all of a sudden, they just lost their way in a number of ways. Defensively, I think that's how it started. Then I think they started cheating, trying to score, and then that went bust, and everything fell through. And then obviously the Couture and Thornton injuries, respectively. You can't come back from that. That's why they lost to the Oilers. But bottom line is, I think the Sharks look at this like, we want to kind of give that same group another chance. The younger guys are that much older, that much more experienced. Some of them, you know, just played in very important AHL games, so they're a little bit more seasoned. And by the way, we still have, what'd you say, AJ, $8.7 million, something like that, yep, to spend. So, you know, there's a lot of things ahead. Like, get excited now, but really, we hope you're more excited about this team in January and February than you are in October. And that's probably the way it should be.
Yeah, and remember, too, Bodker got scratched for two of those playoff games.
That's right.
I mean, really expecting a bounce-back year from him, and hopefully he finds chemistry. And we see a power play that just stifles opponents and that they get nervous about going on it. So with that, finally, Brody, we wanted, of course, to know, you being there at NBCSN Studios, what can Sharks fans expect? I know we kind of talked about it previously when they were doing the whole transfer from CSN into NBCSN, that there was maybe everybody's going to get an hour pregame. What's going on with the Sharks?
Well, it's going to be, first off, we're going to do terrible television all season long. And
so that hasn't changed.
No, we're going to do it because Curtis is still the analyst, the main analyst.
I look forward to this. I genuinely do.
How do you expect me, Rocket, to do a great show with Brownie by my side? Like, talk about an anchor. I mean, that is just weighing me down.
Come on. You have to support your teammates. You really do have to encourage the best performance out of them in order for you to feel better about your performance. You can't.
Apparently, he made a deal to not, like, shave his beard for another whole full season. I can't.
Oh, no.
Wait, what was the deal?
I'm going to let him explain it on the first show. We talked to him on the phone the other day. It was something at his charity event, the Aubrey Brown Club. I guess there was some financial reason why, and it was for a good cause, that he will not shave for another year. But anyway, No, AJ, to get back to your point in all seriousness, our Sharks shows this year are actually going to stay at a half hour. I could give you a number of background topics on that. I'll refrain. My bosses can do that, but I think that that's actually a very good thing. I like, we've been doing an hour here all baseball season, and in 100 and
wow,
whatever.
Somebody was really happy about doing an hour.
Does Dave Feldman over my shoulder in the boss's office. See, by the way, I sit right next to the boss's office here. But it's one of those things where I don't want to dilute our coverage. I would honestly, as a host, I don't know what you guys think, but I, as a host, I'd rather do a strong 30 minutes on our hockey shows. And baseball, we also have, you know, maybe some more additional resources that we don't have in hockey. So I don't want to get people upset about the half hour thing versus the hour long shows we've been doing for the A's. I just think this fits the Sharks quite well. And actually, you know, I love the A's too. I think you guys know that. But going from the end of this season, now getting back to hockey, and it happens at the same way at the end of hockey. I get pumped up for baseball. You start to see the next season in the shadows and starting to emerge. I'm so pumped up about some of the things I think we're going to be able to do here. So, again, it's kind of weird. I haven't completely unwrapped my head off of baseball yet. But I'm still trying to get my feet a little bit wet in hockey so that when we get started on that Saturday, we're full steam ahead.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing the new graphics and all the cool things that come along. Puck guy?
I do have one question, Mr. Brazil.
Yes.
This time last year, you guys were generally talking about the Vegas Golden Knights and how you know, many people didn't realize what happens in Vegas. And we wanted to see if you can confirm that you will be spending the entire Thanksgiving week in Vegas for a special Shark Central edition with your producer.
I think he should spend the entire 3 days looking for the loss in Las Vegas.
Oh!
How do you spell that? L-O-S-S or L-A-S?
Yes.
L-O-S-S.
Okay. Two things, because AJ, you brought that up. This is my personal mission this year, to find out whose idea it was to change a city's name based on what the hockey team wants to call it. I understand most people say, let's go to Vegas. But, you know, they're not the Jose Sharks. They're not the Angeles Kings. They're not the York Rangers, you know, the Lewis Blues. Like, you can't like, sleeken up your city's name to make your team sound better. Anyway, that's my personal issue. Eric, to answer your question, you already referenced when that game was. When the schedule came out and I found out that the Sharks Golden Knights game is the day after Thanksgiving. It's on Black Friday. You think I'm traveling on Thanksgiving night to go to Vegas? No, I'm going to be at home. But I blame the schedulers on that, because trust me, if that were away from one of the holidays, I would be begging to get myself and our producer on that trip so we could, you know, nobody really knows about Vegas. We need to show you the sights and perhaps some of the nocturnal activities that happen on the strip, so to speak.
I bet you that plane would be empty.
Does Britney Spears still have a show there?
I think her residency.
I'll tell you, the schedulers knew exactly what they were doing, okay? Because they know where all the big ticket money lives in the United States. And they know that if all of the people in the Bay Area have that money, they're going to spend it. Why? Because they can.
Why to Vegas?
One of the
topics I talked to a lot of the veterans about in our interviews was the fact that Vegas is coming to the NHL. And I just said, what is this going to be like? I mean, it's so uncharted. And not just, well, the expansion team, you know, that happens every once in a while. But just the traveling to Vegas as a road city now, young players. And Joel Ward was very upfront. He goes, to be honest, I do worry a little bit about not young guys on our team, but young guys just around the league, because it is easy to be, you know, to get caught up in the glitter a little bit. And think about this. You guys know pro teams, they don't stay at the worst hotels, right? They're not going to be off the strip, if you know what I mean. They are going to be in one of the primest locations possible. So they're going to have to walk, like, literally with blinders on so that they don't do anything, you know, extra that they shouldn't, and spend those extra hours, even though they know morning skate's coming around sooner than later.
It feels like that's going to be the one game where, like, you see no social media from. There will be no tweeting, no Instagramming, nothing.
Nothing happened here. Yeah, right. No, yeah. I, you know, it's like if I'm a head coach, you know, I would do the old, like, baseball teams used to do this. They'd put a manager or a bench coach in the lobby, the hotel lobby, and just kind of take inventory of who's gone out, what time they came back, and then they leave at midnight. And if the players haven't got back by midnight, they know that they're still out. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
And you'd probably be familiar with this. Since it is Black Friday, Thanksgiving, do you think for that one would the – because usually, you know, the team flies out the night before a game.
Yeah.
Do you think that one's going to be, because it's so close, that it's just going to be that morning?
I would have to imagine that'll be – I don't know where the road trip goes after that. Or
it comes – they're home the very next night against Winnipeg.
Oh.
Funny and you should say
that. Are they on the road before that too?
They are. They're in Arizona playing the Desert Dogs.
Oh, so okay. So never mind. So they're already going to be – yeah, right. But Arizona. So you could potentially see them fly back, have Thanksgiving with the fam, and then jet back out to Vegas the next morning.
Right. I don't know. You know what? And not to make a joke out of this, because you guys know I like Canadian jokes, but a lot of these guys are celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving more than American Thanksgiving anyway. So I'm not saying it's not equally as important to them, but some of these guys, it's not the big deal that it is to all of us. I'm also realizing, because Eric mentioned Desert Dogs. So like my two little things on the broadcast now are going to be Las Vegas and Desert Dogs. Yeah, I feel like that's what I feel like that's what I should do. I should emphasize Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay, and go ahead, throw in another question there, because I forgot I needed to grab something. Yeah, go ahead.
Eric. Where are you going, AJ?
He's got to find something he needs to show you. He's got a collection.
All right.
There's a vault involved.
So kind of getting heading back to the coverage, we got Shark Central is going to return.
Yes.
Anything else you can share about the coverage?
We had talked about Shark Central, which used to be, well, in all of our other magazine shows for the respective teams, they used to be a variety of topics. And what we've done is we've changed back to a different format of focus on one individual for the entire show. And I didn't know what to think about that at first, but we did that with the A's this year, and I love it, because you really get to know an individual over the course of taping a full show with them. And what we did was we told the players, the baseball players, give us something fun you like to do, and then we'll plan the whole show around that. So actually two of them, Ryan Healy and Chad Pinder, they love this pizza joint in Walnut Creek. So we called the joint up. We made pizzas with those guys. And, you know, it's just something it's a place they already like. Earlier on in the year, one player, he was a home brewer. So we took him out to Fieldwork Brewing in Berkeley. It was awesome. We helped him brew beer. So, you know, and I would hope with the Sharks that we continue that trend. I don't know if we're doing it or not. I don't want to speak, out of place here, but I think eventually we will get to that, because then you really get to know a guy in their element. You know, you really get to, we're not bouncing around and taking the small sound bites you've already seen. We're really just hanging out with him. It's a lot more casual. So hopefully that's the case. Other than that, you know, to be quite honest with you, I'm pleased to just see a lot of the same as far as the broadcast side goes. And Honor and Bakes, we're adding, by the way, a hologram of Drew Remenda this season, so that we don't actually have to put up with him like after the show. We just turn it off, you know, like we're tired of Drew. No, just like pull the plug and he's gone. So, and he will actually only appear in like the very, very, very last segment of the post game show. Like he's getting nowhere close to the game. So look for that.
That's brilliant. I look forward to that in a big way. That's been, kind of a quick hit on what we expect out of the Sharks for the 2017-2018 campaign. As always, we have Rocket Backhander. How do they find you on the social media, Rocket?
Hi, everyone. My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me hanging out at Twitter. I'm lurking in the shadows. That's rbackhander76 on the Twitter. And then you can find me on Instagram taking pictures for myself now. Rocket Backhander, one word on Instagram.
Puck guy?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
Wow.
MySpace, Tinder.
Tinder. I think my Tinder's still up right now. At PuckGuy14. And no, no, there is no AOL Instant Messenger, as many of has made fun of.
Well, and remember, and Brody's handle changed not too long ago when they made the switch over.
I hate my new handle, by the way. Can I mention that? I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. I didn't choose it. I hate it. I like that it's shorter, yes. Brody NBCS, but what's the S? I know it's sports. I know. But, like, what's the S?
Well, you know what? Just, I mean, how many times we saw the Sharks go from what KICU and Sports Channel to Fox Sports and CSN and now NBC. So you just wait until somebody else comes along. Who knows? You may be at Brody the Athletic soon enough. I mean, who knows? they're just taking over everything.
At Brody Unemployed, maybe.
Oh, you know what? You should get at Max's dad, right?
Ooh, that's a good one. Actually, yeah, you know what? I've decided that people say, oh, make Max his own Instagram. No, because he's going to have more followers than me. Why would I do that? Like,
you're like the dog already has enough followers.
For the record, my wife is the master of that domain. I am not touching that account. That's all my wife.
So. That's awesome. And of course, I'm your host, AJ Strong, AJ _ Strong on the Twitter and Instagram, but it's all based around TealTownUSA.com. Same on the Instagram, same on the Twitter. Thanks for listening. And you can catch us after the first week of Sharks Ice Hockey on the Pucknologist. Thanks for tuning in.